child of the King. Look where I'm standing now. Oh, look where I'm standing now. Oh, I stand on the chain breaking, miracle making, powerful name of Jesus. On the body raising, body good saving.
Give you glory this morning, Jesus, for you deserve it, for every moment of transformation in our lives, for every time that you've pulled us out of something that we didn't have the power to pull ourselves out of. We give you glory for that today. We give you glory for what you're doing in our community, for the lives that you're transforming, God, and you have been transforming, and you'll continue to transform until you've completed that work in us, God. We believe that you are moving and you're powerful. Just give you our attention today. We ask that as we look at you, God, that you might heal us. You might redeem us, Lord Jesus. You might be our hope and our strength this morning.
Sins glide.
Goliath to his knees. I've seen his praise unravel shackles right off my feet. 'Cause that's the power of your name. Just a mention makes a way. Giants fall.
Feel like that, and there's a big gap sometimes between moments like that for us. But in the time of waiting between, Lord Jesus, I just pray that we would lift our eyes to you, gain hope and strength from just seeing who you are and what you can do and what you will do. Just pray you'd raise strength and faith in this meeting today, God, that all of us here would be reminded of what you do in our lives. Let's just worship him for a second around that. Ooh.
dimension makes a way. Giants fall and strongholds break. There is healing. That's the power that I claim. It's the same that rolled the grave. There's no power like the mighty name of Jesus. No, there's no power like the mighty name of Jesus. And there's no power like the mighty name of Jesus.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it, mate. And Tommy, just great to just have our gaze put on Jesus and his promise this morning as we read those words of those songs. It's just fantastic. If you haven't got your screen on and you're not naked, can you turn it on? That would be good. That helps me as I speak, just to see you and just to, yeah, just get a sensitivity in the spirit about what God's doing. Ask Lord for almost a prophetic picture this morning as we got into this, and the picture I got was the first thing the Lord said to me is I want to see people switched on. And I'm like, okay, you want to see people switched on, what does that mean? He goes, well, you know, many people, you know, we're all lights. You know, we know Jesus. He calls us, you know, we have his light, but some of us have been on a dimmer switch and some of our dimmers have been down, and God wants to turn up the dimmer switch so that so that your light will shine. And so I feel like we're on that journey of just, you know, turning up the light, turning up the shining, sort of as we start to meet back together. And just a sensitivity to going, okay, God. And I just encourage you even now, you know, just before the Lord, is just saying, Lord, you know what? I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where my dim is at, but I just pray that I would be as switched on as I can be for you, that I would be as sensitive to the Spirit as I possibly can be, that I'd be as attentive to your word as I possibly can be, that I would be, loving others as much as I possibly can. And if there's anything in me that's, you know, hindering my light or dimming my light, Lord, I pray that you would just reveal that to us now. And so I just pray this morning, like, let's just have a sensitivity to the Spirit of God in such a way that we go, okay, Lord, what's stopping? You know, it talks about in Matthew 5, that you're the light of the world. A city on a hill should not be hidden. People light a lamp. When people light a lamp, they put it on a stand and put under a bowl, you know. So the idea is that we have a light so it shines, rather than that it's, that it's covered up by other things. And God just wants us to shine. And I just want to encourage us in that journey. That had nothing to do with what I was going to speak about today, but that's just what I thought I would start with. That was that prophetic word. And I think too, you know, just even now, just sensing, you know, God sees something in us that we don't see in ourselves. You know, we see there's a sense of, you know, even with the light, sometimes there's an ampage there that's not always turned up to its full potential. And I feel like God wants to, you know, turn us up to our full potential and start to see things that we're not seeing ourselves, and reveal things that that we can't see. And I love that passage in Isaiah 43, verse 19. Where it says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And one of the things that we need to do is perceive what the Lord is doing and perceive how he's moving in your life. I think sometimes we can just be so distracted that we're not always aware or on point when it comes to what the Lord's trying to do in and through us. And so I think we've just got to become attentive this morning, you know, to what God wants to do in us and through us, you know, through our church, but also through our families and our workplaces and all those kinds of things. So, because his way is the best way, you know, his way of doing things always bears the most fruit. And we can spend a lot of energy just, you know, perceiving and doing our own thing. But God wants us to walk in his ways so that we can bear fruit and fruit that will last. So, yeah, I just encourage you with that as we kick off this morning. So as I was thinking about today, I've had a lot of conversations with people more recently about their desire to get away. And I've got some slides here that Pete's going to show for us. I'm just going to work my way through them this morning. But I'll put your hand up if you're keen to go on a holiday. Anyone keen to get away? A few people keen to, you know, that idea of, how does that picture look? You feel like you'd like to sit there, maybe have your feet in the water, have your chair in the water, you know, warm water, you know, someone's going to be sitting in the shade. The others are going to be sitting in the sun, getting their head burnt. But there's this sense of, you know, this desire for people to get away. And I feel like as I was preparing this idea about, you know, that God is calling us to a place of rest, that he is calling us into rest, but there is a potential that we will miss what he's calling us to. Now, rest can look like do things. And I was looking at this this week about, and just under that title, getaway, is the decreation or recreation. Now, often this is kind of the potential, I suppose, is that when we get away, we can often get away because of decreation. And to me, that's more about diminishing and deconstructing what God is trying to do. So in a sense, we're running away rather than this idea of recreation, which to me is about the new creation. And it's about what God is doing. So, you know, sometimes we can go away because we're trying to run away, or we can go away because we're trying to recreate something in us. We're trying to become that new creation. And I think we've got to be very aware as we read this next scripture that will come up. Pete, can you just put it up there for me? It's interesting for the Hebrews, as he wrote this and talking about the Israelites and how they left the promised land, left the wilderness to go to the promised land. And if that's a picture for you, maybe leaving the struggle that you're in at the moment to go to the promised land of a getaway or a holiday. And this verse really challenges me, because it says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Is it possible for us to desire rest but never actually enter into it? Is there a desire within us that we want to rest, we want to be restored, but we actually miss it for some reason? And, you know, have you ever been on a holiday and felt like you needed a holiday from your holiday? You know, that you haven't actually rested, you haven't actually been restored by the process, and you've gone away and you've just come back often as exhausted and as flat as you went. And so I feel like as we enter rest in this season, whatever that looks like for you, and it might not be physically going away, but it might be just, you know, in a sense, wherever you are, but let's make sure that we hit our target. Let's make sure that we don't miss our target. I love that picture. You know, we can have a desires within us for rest, because that's a desire that God's put in us, but we can also miss it, much like the Israelites did when they left the wilderness and God called them to the promised land, but they never fully entered into rest. So I feel like there's two roads that we potentially can go on. And, you know, this picture explains those two roads. We can go down the road of escape, or we can go down the road of restoration. And I feel like they're the two potential roads you go down when you're desiring to enter into rest, or you're desiring to get away and recharge, if you like, or just fill your tank again with what you need in order to live life to the full and do what God's called you to do. Now, we've all heard of escapism. We've all heard of this idea that, oh, for sure, sometimes I just want to escape. I just want to get away from people. And the idea often of escapism is about avoidance. It's about a diversion, if you like, or a distraction. It's almost a fantasy, you know. We just want to, it's just wherever I'm feeling right now and whatever's going on in my life, I just want to escape. I just want to get out of it. I just want to get away. But the problem with escapism, it's often temporary rather than, you know, in a sense of lasting. And God calls us to a sense of ongoing renewal and new creation rest. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. The preface of this message in 2 Corinthians that Paul writes is this idea that the old is going and the new is coming. It's like this ongoing, you know, process of going, you know what, if rather than the old is just staying, you know, because often, you know, when we just escape from things, we're not actually leaving something behind. So what God wants us to do, I feel like as we enter rest, as we leave something, we need to enter into something rather than just leave something as a distraction or a diversion. And God wants, or a temporary kind of fix. So God wants to restore us on a journey of restoration, which is lasting and transformative. And that's the process. Like, I don't know about you, but when I enter into rest, go away for a break, which is very much Jesus even set himself aside to get restored. I don't want to go back into the crowds or back into my life feeling as bad or as exhausted or as I did when I left. So God wants to send us, and this, I suppose this is what this word about turning the dimmer up, turning the light off. He wants to restore the light that shines within us. He wants to turn up the light that's within us. And this is a journey of restoration, not a journey of escapism. It's not about just stepping out and going, you know what, I'm just getting out of here and expecting by accident that we would come back and feel better. We have to be deliberate in our journey of restoration. Now, I was looking at this, you know, story of the prodigal son, and, you know, we've heard it in Luke 15, and you can read the whole story from 11 to 32. But that word there is the word wasteful. The word prodigal is the word wasteful. And I think that, you know, we don't want to waste the rest that we have. We don't want to waste the opportunity that we have. And we understand from this story that he was discontented with his situation living in the father's house. The grass was going to be greener on the other side. And he says to his dad, look, I want everything that you have for me, and I'm going to go away and I'm going to work this out for myself. And it says, long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off to a distant country, and then squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen in that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. You see this story of desire for this prodigal son, you know, where he sort of has this journey of going, you know what, I want to get away. I'm not enjoying my life. I'm feeling, you know, I'm not enjoying living in my father's house with my brother and everything that go. I'm not enjoying the work that I'm doing here, and I want to go away. But the word here that I like is this idea that you can squander your opportunity for rest. You can squander your opportunity for your future by not entering into the thing that God has for us. We can become wasteful in the time that God has for us. And I suppose that's the encouragement for all of us. Whatever time we have to be with the Lord, to enter his rest, let's not be wasteful in that approach. Let's not think the grass is greener on the other side and simply by, you know, getting away and just doing maybe what the flesh wants us to do, that we're actually going to feel any more content, because our contentment comes actually by living in Jesus, not by squandering the opportunity or the things that we think we need to do. So where is this kind of going? I feel like that God wants to increase our zeal for him. This is why we can't be wasteful in entering into our rest. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I believe that when we enter rest properly, what happens is we come out of it not feeling like a desire to disconnect with the Lord or disconnect with others, but the fruit of rest, truly entering a restorative process of rest, is you will come back with a desire for the Lord, which is stronger than you've ever experienced, and a desire for others, which will be strong as well. God does not want us to live in emotional depletion. He wants to live help. He wants to get us to a place of spiritual fervor. That is the goal of the Spirit working within your life and my life. So this restorative journey was that we would not be lacking in zeal, but we'd be able to keep our spiritual fervor, maintain it by serving Lord. So, and when we're saying serving the Lord, we're talking about serving Him in all ways. So I just want to read this passage from Hebrews 11. I was thinking about the crossing, you know, and I feel like one of the things in the crossing, and I know that if you go across a normal crossing now, schools teach the kids. Does anyone know what that is? What is it? Stop, look, and listen. Stop, look, and listen. It's something like that. And this idea is that if we're crossing over, we need to be aware of our environment and listen and respond to our environment in the right way. So let's just read this, and I'll pick up a few points about entering God's rest this morning. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands. So once again, context here, talking about the Israelites moving out of the wilderness, out of oppression from the Egyptians into the promised land that God is leading them to. So think about that. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands for us, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it, which is the passage, which is probably the risk for all of us, that we fall short of the rest that God's inviting us into. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. And again, in that passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, next slide, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time ago later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter the rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is active, alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts. I'm not sure I missed a bit there, but that's all right. Go to the next slide. Just want to pick out a couple of thoughts here. Now, here's a roadmap for you in regard to, and I suppose these were the challenges that the Israelites went through. And one is that we need to growing faith and trust, growing in faith and trust. I think the one in verse 2, it says that they didn't share in the faith and they didn't enter because of their belief, you know. And so there's a sense that, God is calling us to have faith in him and trust him. One of the, I actually appreciate Jack McGrath said at the men's meeting the other night, which really stuck in my mind, and he talked about how sometimes it's easier to say we love God than it is to say that we trust him. It's easier to say that we love God than it is to say that we trust him. And I think that, you know, we could easily, I suppose, go, Lord, you know, we love you. We love who you are. We love what you've done. But do we trust him with our life? Do we trust him with our future? Do we trust him with our presence? And that was probably the issue they had with the Israelites, is a lack of faith and trust in God. So the other thing is obedience to his voice. They didn't it says there that they didn't enter the rest because in verse 6, it says they didn't enter the rest because of their disobedience. Now, one of the things that God, I suppose, is calling us to in order to turn up our light, to enter this place of zeal for him and for others, is that we simply continue to listen to his voice, that we take time to listen to his voice. Now, I don't believe necessarily when we talk about being spiritually zealous necessarily means, that we get busier, that we actually create more activity. I think actually being spiritually zealous sometimes is about stopping what we are doing, putting down the yoke of busyness and the heavy burden of hard work and listening. Listening until our heart comes alive again. Listening that we are loved. Listening that we are accepted. Listening that we are cared for, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Listening to the fact that you belong to the kingdom. I believe that as we listen and we are affirmed in the Lord, it's in then that your kind of zealousness for the Lord starts to grow. It doesn't grow because of necessarily just doing more, but I think listening to the voice. Because how good is it when you hear the voice of God and then you do what he asks you to do and you experience the testimony and the fruitfulness of that obedience? That actually creates more zealous passion, faith, because you walk in the Lord and you see what happens. Now, even this morning, simple thing, right? Simple thing that gets me excited, gets me zealous in the Lord. I was preparing this message and I said, it wasn't the Lord, I realized, but I had a song this week that I was singing. I was going to send it to Josh to say, can we sing the song this morning? And I totally forgot about it. I said to him this morning, I was going to get you to sing a song, but I totally forgot. Anyway, he said to me when he got it, I said, I got two new songs. And one of them is about wilderness. One of them is about moving from the wilderness into the promised land. I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. I get excited when I listen to the voice. I get excited when I hear God, what he wants to speak to us this morning. And then he affirms it through a song that Josh wants to sing. Now, that may be just a simple example, but when we're obedient in doing what God asks us to do, he affirms it through other things. And then that creates a sense of passion and zealousness in our life because we're walking in his will. See, God doesn't want us to necessarily be more committed. He just wants us to walk in the calling that we have. He wants to just to listen to his voice and to follow through on what he's saying. Now, the only way you listen is you stop. I've learned that from my marriage, that often when I don't listen, I don't stop to listen. So we need to stop and listen. So the other thing is we need to grow in faith. As I said, sometimes it's easier to love. So I want you to think about what does it mean to trust God. We grow in zealousness when we're obedient. They did not enter the rest, it says in verse 6, because they were disobedient. Now, let's think about our life and our word and what God's calling us to in this season, whatever that is in your family, your work, your everyday obedience with him. We won't enter into the rest unless we do what he's asking us to do. In an interesting thought, you know, we can take advice from other people. You won't enter rest because you necessarily take advice from other people. You might enter rest if you take advice from the Lord, if you take heed to what he's saying rather than necessarily what everyone else is saying. So let's be careful. Sure, we can take on wise counsel that can come from the Lord through others, but sometimes it doesn't. And so let's just be aware that if we're feeling restless, it may be because we're listening to the wrong voice. So tender heart, we need to have a humble, tender heart. It says, excuse me, in verse 7, that just don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Soften your heart. Keep your heart tender. Keep your heart, soft so that you can receive what God has for you. Is your heart in a place where you're actually positioned, where you feel like if God spoke to you, you would listen rather than rebel? Are you in a place where if truth was to enter your soul right now, would you resist it or would you receive it? And I feel like that's the place we need to be. We need to be open to not resist, but to receive the words that God has for us. Stopping from work. I love this. Who put your hand up if you enjoy this word that I'm giving you this morning about stopping from working. Now, this you might say, well, you know, I'm not working at the moment. Maybe I'm retired, you know. But I love what someone said, that often stopping or being still is often letting go of your need to achieve something. Letting go of your need to achieve. So that includes all of us. Sometimes we're so busy on working that we're still achieving something. And even we can be trying to achieve stuff in spiritual ways. And sometimes God says, stop. Now, if we look at Sabbath rest, he stopped. And I love what this passage in verse 10 says. It's an encouragement to us. It says, even if God did it, then we need to do it. Even God stopped from work. Now, the final thing is there is this encouragement, because I love this, that, you know, the Lord stopped from working on the seventh day, not because he was tired and exhausted and annoyed or frustrated. He stopped to celebrate and be grateful for what happened in the previous 6 days. Now, I just think this is a beautiful picture of how we enter rest, right? We grow in our faith and trust in God. We don't just love him, but we trust him with our life. We trust his voice and we obey his voice. We keep our heart soft. We actually stop from working, our need to achieve. And when we enter into rest, we're not complaining about the previous week. We're not whinging about the previous week. We're not frustrated, even though it may have been frustrated. But we think about what the Lord has done. And we focus on that. How has the Lord been working in me this week? What has he been doing in my life? Have I stopped with him? What has he been teaching me? What have I seen in other people? How have I seen growth in my family this week? Just that small breakthroughs of what the Lord has done in the past 7 days. That is the point of Sabbath rest. That is the point of your holidays. If you want to get away, rather than spend the time escaping from the tyranny of our lives, take some time to celebrate the time that you've spent when you were with him and before you went away, to go, you know what, God, I'm not just going to come away and complain about my life. I'm going to come and celebrate my life. I'm going to celebrate what you're doing. I'm going to celebrate that I have your light and your life within me at work. I'm going to celebrate the Holy Spirit's work, that I'm a new creation, that the old is gone and the new is coming. Lord, I can see a new thing happening. Can I perceive it? Lord, give me eyes to perceive the new thing that you're doing. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not going to lose heart, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, I'm not going to lose heart, though outwardly I'm wasting away. Inwardly I'm being renewed day by day. You know, thank you, Lord, that's the story of my life. We should be encouraged. So just a final slide just to close here, which I spoke about in the newsletter, but this has been a scripture that's just been resonating with me because I just sense that God does not want us to, as I said at the start, you know, there's not a decreation going on where we diminish or deconstruct the things that God's doing in our life by doing, by escaping. But there's a recreation that God wants to do. There's a restoration that he wants to do to turn us up, to turn us on for him, and to increase our zeal for him. And how do we do that? You know, we've shared some thoughts in those scriptures from Hebrews, but we come to him all who are weary and burdened, and so at the end of the day, who is the place of rest? Jesus is the place of rest. He is the rest giver. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I go and spend time with people and I don't feel rested. Probably shouldn't say that. It's none of you people, by the way. But, you know, you go and visit, you go, you know, we say, oh, we've got to go and visit someone, we've got to go see someone. And then you just, that big sigh to think, oh, man, it's exhausting. But I just want to say, you know, and that may be in different ways for many people that we go to them, but I love what Jesus says. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. That's his promise. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So learn from me how I do it. Learn from me how I get rest. And he says, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, take that yoke, the yoke of gentleness, the yoke of humility. Take it upon you today. Take it upon your heart today. And this idea that, because Jesus is saying from this passage, my yoke is easy and my burden. Why is his yoke easy and his burden light? Because he walks in gentleness and humility. That's why his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And that's how our yoke becomes easy. That's how we enter rest, is that we come to him who gives us rest. We listen. We have faith in him and we trust him. We obey his voice and listen. We have that tender heart. We stop when we have to stop. We let go of achieving and we celebrate and have gratitude for all he's done. We resist that hard heart and we enter into his presence. So let's just pray. Let's take his yoke upon us right now. Not our yoke, not our burden. You know, I feel like, you know, when you enter into rest, you've got to leave some things at the door. You got to leave your burden outside and you pick up his yoke, which is gentleness and a humble heart. So let us pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you're calling us to a place of restoration, a place of rest, but a place where we're going to be fulfilled, a place where we're going to be free, a place where we're going to be, you know, be inspired and full of zeal for your people, for your church, for our life. Lord, we want to resist escapism where we don't actually rest. We just put things aside for a time and it's so temporary. But we want to enter into a place where we are with you and we are changed from the inside out, that we are being renewed day by day, that we are becoming new creation people. And so do a new work in us, creating us a new heart, a new desire, a fresh anointing on your church today, I pray in Jesus' name, a fresh anointing on your church today, Jesus, to do all the things that you've called us to renew. Turn up the dimmers, Lord. Turn, shine our light so that we can shine for us and the people around us, Lord. Bring, Lord, Holy Spirit, come and minister to our hearts. Give us those convictions today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thanks, everyone. It's been great. Did anyone want to share anything? I'd love this idea. You know, what's your response to that message? What do you feel like the Lord, maybe something that he's been speaking to you about, or everyone's welcome to speak here. You know, just even something that I said that you thought you want to highlight, that you feel, yeah, that's something we need to hear. Just feel free to share freely if you want to add. And we'll just spend a few minutes responding to the message to more today. We don't just want to be hearers. Let's be doers of the word and let's respond. So just maybe a few people. Don't be shy. Brendan.
Hi, how are you? My short reflection is this. I think I exist in a state of perpetual fatigue. I don't know what it is. It's a mixture of doing too many things. And one of the things we've been challenged to do recently was consider Sabbath rest as like a spiritual discipline that you actually intentionally engage in, which I'm really bad at doing, because my problem is you're just always being switched on. Actually, it affects everything else. I mean, one of the terms I think of is burnout, but I think Sabbath is recognizing that God's in control and that I don't have to like do everything all the time.
Great.
So I found a little excerpt from a book that I posted in the chat and I love it. It says, Sabbath is God's way of saying, stop, notice your limits, don't burn out. It is a day he gives us to remember who and what work is for us, as well as what matters most. Sunday generously hands us hours to look into the eyes of those we love. We have time for loving and being loved, Rhythmically, the Sabbath reminds us that we belong to the worldwide family of God. We are citizens of another kingdom, a kingdom that is not ruled by the clock and the tyranny of the urgent. God's Sabbath reality calls us to trust that the Creator can manage all that concerns us in this world as we settle into his rest. So that's a real comfort to me, just to begin contemplating. Like, it's good for me to stop and to sort of, well, yeah, I need to stop. Otherwise, you know, it's a problem. anyway, so that's just some thoughts
I have. That's great, Brendan. Thank you.
Like you, Brendan, I had to stop multitasking, but it's very hard to stop. It's been many years of doing multitasking. The verse that Matthew 11, 28 to 30, the Lord gave us that verse for the retreat. However, for me, the verse was a test. If God didn't speak to me to do something, it becomes a burden. Right. If he's in it, I have amazing strength and grace to go through it. It's amazing grace. Everything is smooth. Yes, and his burden is light. So the mission we took on, it was light. We could do it until it came to a time when it was getting a bit too hard. And then we knew it was time to let go. That's how the verse came to us. That verse for missionaries to come out and rest.
It's good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Low.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you. When you were explaining about enter to rest, what got into me, which is more and more and more now, is the obedience to his voice. Last Tuesday, conversation with someone who is a non-believer, and he calls himself an atheist. And then I went to meet the person in person. So we were sharing, this is at the hotel in the city. So while we were sharing, and I started hearing speak about his mother and his sister. So I asked, do you have a sister? And he says, yes, why you ask, Lord? How about your mom? Yes. He held very long to reply to yes. And then I said, do you call them? And the man says, no, Lord. There's something to do with family, but I can't share it with you. This is to do with work, right? And I said, yes, I just want to tell you that my faith is very strong, and I'm getting a sense, this is why I'm asking you. He started looking at me, and by looking at him, I could see he was feeling very, very uncomfortable while I'm around. And I said, you're going to be fine. It's okay. It'll help me because of my belief. And then I said, because I'm hearing at the time about his, then from the mother and the sister, it went to the brother. At that time, my flesh started saying, okay, you got it right, sister and the mother, now the brother. And I'm thinking, oh Lord. Then I said, okay, do you have a brother? And then he says, Lord, I do not talk to him, and I will not talk to him. And then I said, Okay, it's nothing. I'm getting it's nothing to do with your sister or your mom. It is your brother. Why do you think, do you want to speak with him? That's the question I ask. And he says, yes, I want to, but I do not know how it's going to go down. He should ask me for forgiveness, that word law, but not me. I said, okay. Do you want to speak with him? He said, I don't know whether he's going to speak to me or not. And then in the moment, I just said, I went like this, Lord, reveal your power inside me, but I'm sitting in front of this man. Lord, reveal your power. And then I got this word, which I just so thankful and very thankful to God for that, for him revealing himself that time. Got the word, tell him he will call. My God, and I started thinking of my flesh. How about if I say and tell him? I'm still thinking when I got it again, tell him he will call. And I looked at this man, I'm going, you know he's going to call you, but when I go out of your office, I will just go and pray. He will call you. He said, what's going to happen, Lord? He started throwing his hands in the air. He said, it won't happen, Lord. But thank you. I respect your faith. So I walked out. I have not walked out of a hotel. When he started looking for me, I just walked out of a hotel from his office. When he wasn't long, within 10 minutes, he started looking for me to try and find out, is Lord still around in the building? Because the brother called him. How huge is this? And this is back in Europe. And the brother is calling him in Sydney at the time when we listen and obey to the voice of God. It shows that person who keeps telling myself that he is an atheist. And he, in me, I was more happier than him. I started thinking, oh, forget about the atheist. I was thankful to God that it happened at the time. So when Brooke is preaching this morning, I said, oh my God, I'm gonna share this. I'm gonna share this. And I'm so proud and very proud of God. I give him all the glory. And I'm very proud that I'm part of Sea Change Church. Amen, and bless Amen. You all.
It's awesome, Lo. Thank you. It's that when we obey our sense, you know, we become zealous, right, for the Lord. You know, it's amazing. Yeah. And good on you. I encourage you. Like, thank you for listening to the voice. And even though, you know, being really specific after him telling you, I haven't spoken to him for a long time and I want to talk to him, but he hasn't called. And for you to have the boldness and the attentiveness to the Spirit of God to say, you know what, he's going to call, that prophetic, that word of knowledge, you know, yeah. Wow, it's awesome. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, and not only did, you know, that's the great thing about listening to the voice of God, the learning here for us is that it's beyond the blessing of the relationship that this guy has. God gets the glory because, you know, he knows God's real from that because, you know, he's had an encounter. He's got a testimony to show and he's got a witness too, so he can't deny it. So it's awesome. Did anyone else we want to close say something? Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us today. Let's just reminded of that scripture in, you know, in Hebrews 4, verse 1. You know, it says, therefore, since the promise of entering rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Yeah. Let's make sure that we're diligent in actually going after him. Just because we're stopping doesn't necessarily mean that we're entering. And I just encourage you to continue to be diligent. You know, verse 11 of that chapter in verse 4 says, make every effort to enter his rest. Make every effort to do it. So I just encourage you and affirm you, let's switch on. Let's grow in zeal over this season. And super looking forward to getting together. Next week, we're going to be together at Janelli outside in the car park. If everyone can bring their, camp chair, that would be cool. If you've got a camp chair, bring it along. And anything else you want to bring, bring a heart for others and a love for others, that would be great. And bring a frying pan. Sorry, that was a... Brendan sent me a private message asking whether he should bring a frying pan. I don't know what it's about, but anyway.
Catch one of the eggs.
Oh, right. I'll catch one of the eggs, right. So, thank you. Bit late. Awesome. Righto, thanks, everyone. If you'd like some prayer, some ministry, then feel free to hang around also. Just the other thing is we've got Upper Room tonight at Janelli, so just a time of prayer and ministry and sitting with the Lord. So you're welcome to come down at 5:30. For Upper Room, 5 o'clock, I think it is actually. So be blessed. If you want some prayer now, then please hang around. We're happy to pray for you and just chat to you and bless you this morning. Have a great week and God bless you.
God bless.
Bye.
Did you want to stay?
No. I'll go. We'll go. To-